Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brittany. All right. Let's grab our Bibles, if you would, please. Let's go over to Proverbs. We're going to be there in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 20. And Lord willing, it's a good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Isn't that what they say? Something like that. We're going to finish Proverbs chapter 6 tonight. Amen. So, but we're not there yet. So let's stand together, please, if you would, one more time. I appreciate that. And let's begin reading in verse 20, Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulterous woman will hunt for the precious life. Let's pray. Father, I do ask you tonight one more time, Lord, for your help, your grace, for your strength, your wisdom. Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I yield myself, Father, completely unto thee. Lord, I don't want to stand here. Lord, I don't want these people to hear me. I pray that you would fill me, empty me of all myself, any of my pride, any rebellion. Father, I pray for your grace to go forth. I pray you'd hedge us about. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would have liberty here tonight. And Lord, that the devil would be bound. Lord, we're going to be in his backyard tonight. Every time this book is open, every time we begin to preach this book, Lord, we are in the devil's backyard. And Lord, I pray that you would give us strength to listen. Amen. God, that you would help our spirits to be submissive. That you would help me to be tender-hearted and kind without compromising, Lord, according to your perfect will in this perfect book that we have in our hands. Oh, how we love you, how we need you, Lord. This may be the last message I'll ever preach. This may be the last message someone here tonight will ever hear. Well, we just don't know. This may be the last church service we'll ever have. God, I pray you'd make it the best. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I have on my heart tonight a message, and it's just the very next one in our study in the book of Proverbs. But it's very eye-opening. It's very alarming. We're going to take a very descriptive look at what I believe has crippled our nation. Yep. As a whole. As much or more than anything else. Mm-hmm. You see, tonight, God, I want you to understand, God created men to be the head of their homes.
Right.
God created men to be the leaders in their churches. God created, now listen, I know that you're not going to vote, this is probably not going to win the vote for the most popular message in the world, but I want you to just please bear with me and listen for a minute tonight. God created men to be the head in their homes, in their churches, and in their nation.
That's right.
Amen.
When God wanted someone to tend to and care for his garden, he made Adam.
Right.
He made Eve, don't miss this, to help Adam.
That's right.
But he made Adam to tend to his garden.
That's right.
When God needed someone to build an ark for the flood, he called Noah.
That's right.
When God needed someone to be the father of his people, that we know that the Jews, he called out Abraham.
Amen.
And by the way, there's not one scripture in the Bible that you can show me where he called Sarah.
That's right.
That's right.
Sarah followed her husband.
That's right.
I don't know where these people get this stuff where if God calls the man, he'll call the woman. That's not in this book.
That's right.
It's your job to follow your husband.
Amen.
When God called and needed someone to deliver that nation out of Egyptian bondage, he called Moses.
That's right.
When God needed someone to lead them into the promised land, he got a hold of Joshua. When God needed someone to be a king for them, their first king, it was Saul, and then it was David, and then it was Solomon, etc. When God needed someone to rebuild the temple and the wall around Jerusalem, he called Nehemiah, he called Ezra, and others. When God needed someone to marry Esther, now I know Esther is a woman. Okay? Yeah, I know that. But Esther could not have been anything other than Esther without a husband.
That's right.
She's not. There's only one virgin birth, and there's never going to be another one, and never was before that. So God used a man to marry Esther by the name of Boaz. When God chose to birth His only begotten Son, and I'm going. Yes, of course it was Mary. I know that. But God used her husband Joseph, her espoused husband, to lead her through all of those journeys, if you know the story.
Amen.
When God needed to move Jesus to this town, and move Jesus to that town, and move Jesus to that town, first to Bethlehem, then to Egypt, and back to Nazareth, he told Joseph.
Right.
When God needed someone to be our Savior, he sent his only begotten Son.
Amen.
Son. When God needed someone to evangelize the entire world, he gave that great commission to 11 men.
Right,
11 men.
Right.
When I'm just going to preach this, man. I'm going to do everything I can to just go ahead. He needed someone to pen the scriptures after he inspired them. And the Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something? God loves women. Of course God loves women. But God doesn't even favor men over women. It's not about that. God created all the women just like he did the men. Jesus was subject to Joseph and Mary, the Bible says, and married. Without women, there never could be any men unless God had to create them all by the dirt like he did Adam. You understand? However, listen to me. God has chosen men to be the head of their family and of the church. That's the way God has set it up, established it. Now, don't forget this, ladies, lest you get upset. This also means that we have the greater accountability before God.
That's right.
When you read Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world."
Right.
Sin entered into the world. What does that mean? That means Adam is held accountable for that sin, even though he didn't eat it first.
Right.
So God chooses men, and then God puts accountability and responsibility on those men to be the head of their homes and their churches and their, I believe, their countries if you read through the Bible. Now, having said all this, we can easily conclude then that if the head of the house, the head of the church, the head of the nation is greatly weakened, then every one of those three, the house, the church, and the nation is going to be greatly weakened.
That's right.
Are you with me so far? Can I tell you, this is obvious and goes without saying, that any living thing without a head will soon die.
Right.
You've seen a chicken run around without a head, right? Yep. Chicken with the head cut off. They run around for a little while, but don't count on that chicken being there tomorrow. Verse 26 says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. If a man, the head and the leader, can be brought to a piece of bread, then whoever is under that man, following that man, listen, is in big trouble."
Amen.
That makes sense? Whoever's under that man, following that man, is in big trouble. Now, for sake of illustration, we're not going to have a ham sandwich, okay? But I am going to show you a little bit. The Bible says a man is brought to a piece of bread. Now, I don't think God just randomly chose that word. Okay? A piece of bread, number one, is soft. It's not hard. It's soft.
Amen.
You know what the word in the Bible that we use for soft when it comes to speaking of men is effeminate.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
An effeminate man, a soft man, is the man that becomes a sodomite.
Yeah, come on. Right. Amen. Preach.
Because they're soft.
That's right.
A piece of bread is weak. I mean, this bread is not resisting me at all.
That's right.
This bread is not fighting back at all. It's emotionally weak. A piece of bread is weak. A man that is brought to a piece of bread is unable to make tough decisions.
Yep,
that's right.
Because he's not stable.
Yep.
A double-minded man.
That's right.
He's weak. He's weak physically. He's unable to work like he needs to, and if the work gets too hard, then he's history.
Yeah, come on.
He's gone.
Come on.
He's not there anymore.
Yeah.
He walks out. Piece of bread. Piece of bread is weak. A man that's piece of bread is weak mentally.
Yeah, come on.
He's unable to maintain or even achieve the intellectual capabilities he needs to succeed. Now, he can't remember things. He can't excel in school. He's just a mentally weak. Now, I'm not talking about disabled at all. I'm talking about a healthy man with a healthy mind, but he's just weak.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have the mental fortitude to focus on the work.
Uh-huh.
Are you listening to me tonight?
Yeah.
But most importantly, this weakness is spiritual.
That's right.
Yeah.
Spiritual.
Yeah.
This man is unable to lead his family. This man will never lead his family into a closer relationship with Christ.
That's right.
This man is a soft and weak man, and he never grows into the dependable, faithful, spiritual leader that his church needs him to be, because he's so soft and weak.
Yeah, that's right.
Soft and weak. This piece of bread, if I left it like this out here a day or two, depending on how the date is, it'll start to grow mold on it.
Right.
It'll just start to grow mold on it.
Right.
It won't be worth anything.
Yeah.
This piece of bread is soft. This piece of bread is weak. Has no strength. This piece of bread is spineless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on.
It doesn't stand for anything. Look how easy it is. Oh, I'm standing for something. Yeah, all I got to do is just a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
And you're not standing anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Mother-in-law says something, okay, I'll back down.
Come on.
Wife says something, okay, I'll back down. Girlfriend says something, okay, I'll back down.
Come on, amen.
No spine.
Amen.
Kids say, I don't want to go to church. Okay.
Yeah, come on, amen.
Preach.
A little bit of pressure. I'm not putting a whole lot of pressure on this thing. A little bit of pressure, and the spineless, weak man, soft man says, okay.
Yeah, come on.
Never mind. I knew this was going to be quiet, but the fact is, this is straight out of the Bible for a good reason.
Yeah.
And if you're getting quiet, then maybe it's hitting too close to home. But I'm trying to help you tonight, that maybe this will help you, because listen, if we just keep growing more and more of these men, well, we're going to have more and more of these men.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
He's spineless. He backs down with very little pressure. Okay, well, so-and-so doesn't like me to talk about that.
Amen.
Go ask your mama.
Yeah, come on, amen.
There's no spine in here. Are you getting the picture?
Yeah.
It just bends wherever the pressure comes from.
Yeah.
It's easily crushed. Easily crushed.
Right.
Easily crushed. Not only that, it's so easily crushed, it's so easy and soft and tender that it doesn't even try to fight temptation.
Yeah.
Are y'all listening to me tonight?
Yeah.
Quick! Run! The devil's coming! Quick run! The temptation is going to destroy you. Well, y'all make fun of me, but this is what most men do.
Yeah.
When they know Satan, quick run! Listen, the preacher said you better stop doing that. The Bible says you can't do that. You better change your ways. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man. Try it. Amen. Preach.
The piece of bread is so soft, spineless, and weak, it just lays there.
Yeah.
The word duh comes to mind.
Yeah, you win. Come on.
It's so soft and weak. Doesn't the Bible say something about devoured?
Amen.
Didn't even try to run. Didn't even try to resist. Didn't even try to fight back.
Yeah, come on.
Weak. Easily crushed. Easily devoured. Yeah. This is a pretty sad picture.
Yeah, it is.
Amen. Can I tell you, I know a lot more men like that than I do otherwise.
Yeah, that's right. Come on. Amen.
I said, I know a lot more men like this than I do otherwise.
Yeah, that's right. Come on. Amen.
That used to be.
Yep.
And they were like this for so long that they were easily crushed, easily devoured, and tossed aside.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
No matter what I preached, no matter what the Bible said, no matter what I taught, no matter what I told them personally in counseling, there they are right now. That's where they're at right now.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Now, I want to tell you right now, I don't think this is a stretch to say this is about the average American male.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
This is the average American male.
Amen.
There's some above average, there's some below average. But this is probably pretty much the average because, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to look at three things quickly tonight. The cause for this, the consequences, and if I can get to it, the cure. But, men, according to my scripture that I just read to you, the number one cause, according to this verse, is a woman.
Amen.
Now, I'm doing my best just to talk to you tonight because I know this is going to get all over some of you. But the number one reason, according to verse 26, by means of a whorish what? Woman. A man is brought nothing more than a piece of bread. Weak, soft, spineless, easy to crush, easy to devour, no strength at all because of a woman. Now, I hate to say this. It's sad and a little scary sometimes. But a woman has a certain power over a man. Influence. Let's put it influence.
Amen.
A whole lot of influence.
Amen.
God made men and women that way. No, there's nothing wrong with what God did.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
What's wrong is men and women aren't staying in their place.
Yeah.
Aren't who God created them to be.
Amen.
The cause is a woman. Ladies, now listen. You need to understand that you have, according to this verse, I don't have to say anything else. This should wake you up and say, I better listen because I have a tremendous amount of influence in the lives of men. You can't take this message lightly just because I'm talking about a man being a piece of bread. Because if a man's a piece of bread, ladies, and a lady's the cause, then they're both guilty.
Yeah. Amen.
They're both guilty.
That's right.
God doesn't leave anybody out here. This is not, by the way, this is not just any woman, but the Bible says very plainly in verse 26, a whorish woman. In other words, not all women make a man a soft piece of effeminate little wimpy bread.
That's right.
Not all women, but only women with certain characteristics.
Right.
So women with certain characteristics. Now listen, it's very important we understand this verse is not calling a woman anything that you might be thinking right now. What it's saying is that this woman has certain characteristics about her.
Right.
Okay? The verse is not accusing a woman of being involved in a particular lifestyle. We know what those women are like. Okay? We know how kind those kind of women and that kind of lifestyle. But that's not what God's saying here. That's many times we read this and we just write it off as, well, yeah, I know that woman. I know that kind of woman. But God says whore-ish. And meaning, in other words, it's a woman who's like that, who has similar characteristics to that kind of woman. The Bible calls this woman in verse 24 a strange woman. The verse says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. In other words, the strange woman is a woman who is not that man's spouse. Okay, first of all, nor is that woman the intended spouse, future spouse, for that young man who's not yet married. Are you listening to me? Okay, a strange woman is simply a person who is not that man's spouse, not that man's intended spouse for the future. This woman could be another man's wife. This woman could be a single lady. Or this man's own wife.
Yeah.
Who has developed these characteristics.
Yeah.
Right.
It does not say that by means of a whorish woman who's not his wife.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. This woman could be a boy's mother who's making her child, her son, a soft piece of sodomite bread for the future.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
If this is the average American male, which you can argue with me all day long, but this is the average American male.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to standing up for something spiritual.
Right.
Especially when it comes to being stand up and be accounted for, and to stand for something that even when the storms start to blow and the wind starts and the skies start to darken and the lightning starts to strike and the thunder starts to roll and the heat starts to get put on, and that man is usually going to be a piece of bread.
Yeah, that's right. Preach. Amen.
So if that's the average American male, then by default, ladies, men, this is the average American woman.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Quickly, I want to look at the characteristics given in the Bible and let God do the talking, because I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Amen.
And I can tell some of you are getting real nervous, and that's fine. But by the way, a weak piece of bread can't take preaching either.
Yeah, amen, that's right.
Verse 24. The Bible says that, number one, she's evil.
That's right.
To keep thee from the evil woman. Right off the bat, we see this is no light thing with God. God calls Satan evil. God calls the Antichrist, the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet evil, wicked.
Yeah.
Now he's talking about a woman.
Yeah.
This is not a little thing with God. This is not some thing that we just overlook and brush over and go on. This is something that God says, this woman is evil. Verse 24 says, also she has a flattering tongue. It means that she's flirtatious, loud, and a liar. Yeah. Flattery is not truth. Flattery is inflated truths, which is nothing more than lies.
Right.
Flattery is telling people what they want to hear in order to get what you want.
Sure. Come on.
Amen.
So she's evil. She has a flattering tongue. She's flirtatious. I mean, after all, she's flattering a man who's not her husband.
Yeah.
That's flirting. That's evil.
Amen.
Right. Come on.
It's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And can I say, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Godly women have a meek and quiet spirit.
Yeah.
And don't tell me, well, it says meek and quiet spirit, not meek and quiet tongue. Oh, come on. If you have a meek and quiet spirit, you're going to be meek and quiet.
That's right.
Not flirtatious.
Right.
Not flirting with men everywhere you are, everywhere you go.
Sure.
A godly woman is not a loud brawler. A godly woman doesn't flirt with men, period.
Right.
It is never God's will for a woman to ask a man for a date.
That's right.
It's never God's will for a woman to use her tongue to get a man's attention.
That's right.
It's evil.
That's right.
Well, I'm telling you what the Bible says.
Amen.
I'm being careful here because this kind of stuff, I read these things and I study this kind of stuff and I realize, dear God, it makes me feel like we're hopeless.
Amen.
I can't even stand up in my church without some of you getting real tight on me right now.
Amen.
She's evil. She has a flattering, flirtatious tongue, trying to get man's attention. Verse 25. It says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. She shows off, listen now, we're talking about the characteristics straight out of the Bible. She shows off her God-given beauty to a man who is not her husband.
Yeah. Amen.
God made a woman beautiful. Thank God for it. I'm glad. I love my wife. I love my wife and my daughters. They are beautiful. God made women beautiful, but not to show off that beauty to men that are not their husbands.
Right. Amen.
She shows off her God-given beauty to a man who isn't her husband. Hey, listen to me. It says, I'm not to lust after her. Well, I can't lust after it if I don't see it.
That's right.
Amen.
It's not covered up, in other words.
That's right.
It's on display.
Yep.
Right.
It's for sale. If it's not for sale, then, well, you know, I'll stop right there. The Bible says that if I can lust after it, I must be able to see it then. Godly women don't show their bodies except to their husbands. Teenagers, they don't show their bodies. Godly teenagers don't show their bodies until they get married to their husband. And then and only then does that man see that beauty that God has made.
Amen.
Godly women know that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
They know that their bodies belong to God. They know that they are to glorify God even with their bodies. You don't get a tattoo on your body unless you want people to see it.
That's right, brother.
You don't get piercings on your body for yourself. You want people to see it.
Right.
And if you put it in private places, you're going to see, somebody's going to see it sooner or later. Now, come on, I'm talking to you like adults tonight,
amen.
But this is happening. This is what's going on.
Amen.
Everywhere.
She's evil. She's a flattering, loud, flirtatious tongue, lying about what she wants to lie about to get what she wants to get. She shows off her God-given beauty to men who are not her husband.
Yeah.
By the way, you can't reserve it for one set of eyes. If you're showing it off in public, everybody's looking.
That's right, brother.
Verse 25. Lust not after beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Eyelids. Now notice, it does not say eyes. I used to think it said eyes, like, you know, don't let her catch you with her eye. That's not what it says. It says eyelids. It doesn't even say eyelashes. I used to think it meant, you know, like that little blinking thing that they do. It doesn't say eyelashes. It doesn't say eyes. It says eyelids. And I thought, Lord, God, what are you saying here? And here's what he's saying. She wears tons of makeup.
Yeah, you will. That's right.
Yeah.
Eyelids. Hold your place right there. Go over to 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. verse 30. When Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. Notice, she painted her face and tired her head. That means she fixed her hair up nice and pretty and looked out a window. As Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?" Now she's flirting with him. She's painting her face. She's fixing her hair. Jehu had come to town, listen to me, to kill this woman. Mm-hmm. On God's command. She's painting her face, fixing her hair, and flirting with him. He lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who's on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. Do you know what a eunuch is? Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
And they said, "We're with you. She don't mean nothing to us. We're eunuchs." And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. Jezebel was an evil woman. Jezebel was a strange woman. That was not her husband. Her husband was Ahab.
Yeah, that's right.
Jezebel was a strange, evil woman, flattering, flirting, and with her eyelids and her hair, everything painted up, flirting with her mouth, flirting and trying to get Jehu's approval because she was an evil woman. Turn over to Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23, verse 38. Ezekiel 23, verse 38. God speaking here. let's read verse 37. That they have committed adultery, Ezekiel 23, 37, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery. Notice, and have also caused their sons, they've made their sons whom they bear unto me to pass for them through the fire to devour them like a piece of bread. Moreover, this they have done unto me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, they made their children bread. Then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. Listen, I'm telling you what, this stuff is going on in the middle of churches all over this country.
Absolutely.
Women like this and men pieces of bread.
Yes, absolutely.
Preach it.
Verse 40, furthermore, that ye have sent for men. Now, so wait a minute, who's sending for men? God's talking about women here. He says, you've sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent, and lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself, and paintest thy... What's that say? This is women.
Yeah.
This is women that are committing adultery. Women that are causing their sons to be devoured in the fire. Women who are committing adultery with their idols. Women who are profaning the sanctuary. Women who are calling for men and painting their eyes. And look at verse 40 at the end. And decking themselves with ornaments. That's all that gaudy jewelry.
Uh-huh.
Piercings. And then it says in verse 41, and sattest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. And a voice of a multitude being at ease was with her, and with the men of the common sort, they didn't care, just whoever, were brought Sabians from the wilderness, which put bracelets upon their hands, beautiful crowns upon their heads. And then said I unto her that was old in adulteries, will thou commit whoredoms with her and she with them? And I'm going to stop right there. But I just want you to see how these women were defiling the sanctuary. These women were devouring their children. These women were calling for men to commit all kinds of fornication and immorality with them, but not before they painted themselves up.
Sure. Yeah.
Go back to Proverbs 6. I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Yes, try.
Proverbs 6, look in verse 26. So we found out that she's evil. Now, we found out that she has a flattering tongue. She's flirtatious and loud. She's a liar. She's doing anything she can to get men's attention. She's showing off her God-given beauty, her body to men who have no right to see it because they're not married to her. She's taken them with her eyelids, all the makeup on her face. And then verse 26, for by means of a horsewoman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and, not but, and, the adulteress, notice, will hunt for the precious life. All of this is done, look now, on purpose.
Right.
It's not a coincidence that this is happening. She's hunting. When I go hunting, I'm not out there but to do one thing, to find what I want to shoot, to find what I'm hunting for.
Yeah.
It's not an accident when I come across a deer when I'm hunting for deer.
Amen.
It's not a coincidence sometimes. Well, sometimes it is. It's luck. But it's not a coincidence when I go fishing when I catch a fish. Because that's what I went to do.
Yeah.
Now, if I was driving down the road and going to Walmart and I saw a dead fish in the middle of the road, that would be a coincidence. That would be an accident. And that would be a stinky fish. But this woman is not doing this accidentally, yeah, by coincidence. This woman is hunting.
Yeah.
Right.
Hunting for why?
Precious life. Precious soul.
The Bible says she's hunting for the precious life.
Right.
Because this piece of bread did not start off a piece of bread.
Yeah.
This piece of bread started off a precious life.
Yeah.
Right.
Godly women. The Bible says we are to abstain from all appearance,
yes,
of evil.
Yes, absolutely.
The things that I just read to you, they don't just appear to be evil. They are, straight from the Bible.
Right.
However, unfortunately, it's what I see everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, verse 27. I want to talk, that's the cause, the consequences. Verse 27 says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The consequences are, man, young man, brother, if you play with fire, you will get burned.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Yeah, that's
right.
Amen. Verse 27 says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Number one, you're going to lose material possessions. Clothes. What is he talking about that? I'm talking about you're going to lose things that you just take for granted. You're going to lose your clothes. You're going to lose your comforts. You're going to lose your luxuries. You're going to lose that job. You're going to lose that income. You're going to lose the things that you just take for granted, like the clothes on your back. God says if you take that fire from hell, by the way, into your bosom, inside, you're going to see bad results on the outside.
Right.
You're going to lose things that you just, the bare necessities of life is what I'm talking about. You're going to lose also, verse 28, can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Well, you're going to lose material possessions, but you're also going to lose motivation.
Yep.
This woman will take the life out of you faster than you can blink.
Right.
She will rob you of any zeal that you ever had for God.
Right.
And quite frankly, I just don't see a whole lot of men with a whole lot of zeal anymore.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
For God. Because it's hard to walk when your feet are burned up.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever got your feet burned maybe on some hot sand or something? Or, I mean, I don't think you've ever walked on hot coals. I haven't. Not on purpose. But, no, never even on accident that I can think of. But the fact is, burnt feet, you can't move forward very well with burnt feet. You can't go anywhere with burnt feet. You're pretty much still, calm, lifeless, stale.
Yeah.
Right.
Just still.
Yeah.
Just like a calm pond with no wind, just there. Just not doing anything anymore for God.
Right.
You can be robbed of your zeal, robbed of your motivation. Listen, it takes old-fashioned motivation to keep going forward for God in this old wicked world, and this kind of stuff is what's happening. By the way, how fast can that move by itself?
Yeah.
You tell me. Run! The devil's coming. Quick! Defend yourself. Put on your armor.
Come on.
I'm too tired.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm too tired. I gave up my fight a long time ago. I'm just going to let God do it. Whatever happens, happens. I'm too tired. No, what happened is you're discouraged, you're depressed, you've lost your motivation because somewhere along the way something's happened to you to take away the zeal that you once had.
That's right.
And according to the scripture, listen, don't you think for a minute, listen to me. Don't you think for a minute that you even have to know this woman personally. I didn't say that this man ever knew this woman.
Yeah, that's right.
They're all over the television. They're all over the internet. Why do you think pornography is the most lucrative industry right now in our world? These women are all over your computers and your phones.
Amen.
These women are all over the grocery stores. God forbid you go to the shopping mall. I can't even look. I got to look up in the sky when I go to the shopping mall and run into the wall.
Come on, amen.
Right.
Because everybody's trying to show off what they got.
Uh-huh.
These women are all over billboards, all over magazines. These women fill the universities, fill the public schools, even the middle schools now. Why do you think we have so much bread where we should have men?
Yeah,
come on, amen.
Because these women are everywhere. You don't even have to meet this woman. You're just going to see.
That's right, amen.
And you're going to lust.
That's right, amen.
And she's going to tell you how, on that commercial, about how wonderful this bag of Doritos is. Like they need a woman to sell that, but that's what they're doing. Why do you think they're doing that? I'm telling you why.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're going to lose the shirt off your back.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You're going to lose all your motivation for God.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose more than you can ever get back.
Uh-huh.
Look what it says down in verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Well, I'm saved, preacher. I didn't say you're going to go to hell. I said you're going to have a wounded, disgraced life full of shame that's never really going to be fully erased. Now, wait a minute. It says I have to commit adultery. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But if you know your Bible, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, that whosoever looketh upon a woman and lust after her in his heart hath committed adultery with her.
With her.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Both of them.
Yeah.
A life full of regret.
Right.
A life full of, well, I used to.
Yeah.
Well, I did at one time. The cause, I say this all the time, but the devil knows what the cause is.
Right.
The devil knows. The devil is doing all he can to make men bread.
Yeah.
And he's using one thing. He's using whorish women.
Right.
I've been in churches where the women look worse than they do in the mall.
Yeah.
No. I don't see anything like that in here tonight. Relax.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying, though? Some of you have been in those churches. You've seen how those women dress in the house of God. And dear God, you might as well go to the nightclub.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, come on.
And the man of God's trying to preach, and put on some blinders, and I'm just going to preach from memory tonight because I can't look upon my congregation because they're all naked.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
And I guarantee you he ain't going to preach this.
Oh, no. Great.
Amen.
Amen.
Try
it. Let me give you the cure real fast and we'll go home. And I hope you'll listen. The cure, it starts in verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Number one, well, the cure is simple. The Bible.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
The Word of God.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, that's it? Oh, you listen, wait a minute, I'm not done yet.
Come on.
Number one, you got to mind it.
Amen.
Did your daddy ever tell you, better mind me, son? What does that mean? You better do what I said.
That's right.
You got to mind it. Not just, there's the Bible. That's nice. Oh, look at that, there's the Bible. No, you've got to mind it.
Yeah,
that's right.
He says, my son, keep thy father's commandment.
Yeah,
you better mind me, young lady. You better mind me, young man. You better mind me, son.
Amen.
You better keep my. You better do what I say. You better go take that trash out.
Amen.
You better mind me. Clean up that room.
Amen.
It ain't good enough just to hear daddy say it.
That's right.
That ain't minding.
Yeah, that's right.
Mind it. Verse 22 says, bind them continually behind thine heart. Talking about those laws, the word of God, the commandments and the laws of God. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Number two, you got to memorize it.
That's right, amen.
That's why we do what we do on Wednesday night. You need to bind it upon thine heart. Notice it says continue. What does that mean? That means I don't have to have it in front of me to open it to know what it says.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
I have it in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not become a piece of bread.
Amen. Amen.
I need to mind it. I need to memorize it. Verse 21, the second part says, and tie them about thy neck. Now, wait a minute. Preacher, I ain't wearing no cross around my neck. I'm glad. Because I don't think men need to wear necklaces at all.
Amen.
Jewelry is for women, and not even that much to begin with. Jewelry, but he says, I think God's simply saying to you and to me that we need to make it visible outwardly.
Amen.
That it's in our hearts, inwardly.
Amen.
He says, bind it inside and tie it about your neck so you know where you stand on the outside. But what do you mean? I'm not going to forget. No, but you know what you need to do? You need to have clothes on about your neck that reminds you, hey, this body is God's.
Amen.
This body, I need to dress like a Christian. I need to do everything I can outwardly to represent the fact that I inwardly am a child of God.
Amen.
That's what he said. I need to mind it. I need to memorize it. I need to make it visible outwardly.
Right.
Outwardly. So if something hang around my neck, it doesn't mean you have to wear a necktie. I didn't preach that. Maybe some preacher might preach that one day. But it does say, tie them about thy neck. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. I'll sell each one of you a tie like this for a mere $47. Because this is the Ten Commandments on a necktie. But that's not what it means. That's not what it means. What it means is if I'm tying something around my neck, listen, all day long, I'm going to know it's there.
Yeah, that's right.
Outwardly, I'm gonna, every time I look in the mirror, every time I look down, there it is. It doesn't have to be, I'm not talking about a necklace. I'm just talking about the fact that I look different than the rest of the world. I need to mind it. I need to memorize it. I need to make it visible outwardly. Verse 22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. What in the world is that? You know what you need to do? You need to meditate on it day and night.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, read it again. When thou goest, that means when I leave my house, I don't have my Bible with me. I've memorized some scripture, but I read it ahead of time, and I read it with the intent of minding it. And so when I leave the house, it's going to lead me where I need to go. Because I'm meditating on what I read. Are you understanding?
Yeah.
And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. So instead of dreaming about witches and goblins and ghosts, I'm dreaming about the Word of God.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I'm meditating on it in the morning when I leave the house, at night when I lay down to bed. What's my last thought? The Word of God.
Amen.
And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. What's that mean? That means as soon as I wake up, I'm running to the Word of God, and it's going to talk to me.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? See, it's not just the Bible laying on my shelf. That's a lot more than that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
I need to mind it. I need to memorize it. I need to make it visible outwardly. I need to meditate on it day and night. Verse 23, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. I need to move forward when I'm shown the light.
Amen. Right.
What does that mean, preacher? I'm to tell you what that means. That means I need to do what God reveals to me as soon as He reveals it to me. If something needs to change from this message, I need to take that light and I need to move and change it. If I hear the Word of God and I don't do anything about it, I'm just going to harden my heart and I'm just becoming closer and closer to a piece of bread.
That's right.
Instead of me just hearing it, when I see the light, listen, I need to walk toward the light. I need to make the changes that God reveals to me, like such as this message, where God reveals something to me as a man, to me as a woman. There's some light there that God's given me. Glory to God. I can move forward into the light. I can get a little bit closer to the Lord.
Amen.
See, I need to move forward when I'm shown the light. I'm telling you, why do we come to church? Why do we read our Bibles? Why do we pray? Why do we come to the altar? Why, preacher? Because listen to me, because God's given us a little bit more light, and then a little more light, and He's drawing us closer and closer to Himself.
Amen.
And when we see that light and we just ignore it, we'll forget it. We're wasting our time.
Yeah.
When we see the light, we need to move forward when we're seeing that light. We move toward God. He's saying, come this way. Well, preacher, or Lord, if I come that way, I'm going to have to leave right here. Yeah, that's exactly the point. You're going to have to leave what you're doing right there. You're going to have to leave how you're dressing right there. You're going to have to leave what you're reading right there. You're going to have to leave what you're watching right there and come toward me.
That's right. Amen.
And it's not going to happen without this.
That's right.
This is the commandment, is the lamp, the law is light.
Amen.
He's not showing us the light just to make us, oh, that's so warm and fuzzy. That's ridiculous. He's showing us the light so we can move forward. And then lastly, the Bible, it says reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I need to mind the Bible. I need to memorize the Bible. I need to make it visible outwardly in my appearance. I need to meditate on it day and night. I need to move forward when I'm shown the light. And finally, I need to make much of reproofs.
Right.
What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, I need to listen and long for reproofs of instruction because they are the way of life.
Right.
They will keep me in the path of life. What's reproofs of instruction? Listen to me. It's old-fashioned preaching. It's old-fashioned conviction, the Holy Spirit pouring out into your heart saying this is wrong. God's reproving you. He's instructing you. He's changing your mind. He's changing your heart. He's leading you into repentance, and you need to make much of it. You need to long for it. You need to look forward to it. You need to love it. You need to be in every single church service you could possibly be in. You need to be here early. You need to stay late. You need to find what God was. God, reprove me, because I know that you're reproving. Proofs of instruction will keep me in the way of life, where I will not become an old rotten piece of bread.
Yeah.
That's right,
amen.
The cure is simple. It's the Bible, but not laying on my shelf.
That's right, amen.
Yeah.
These soft men, these whorish women, are all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I mean, good night. It makes me crazy. I mean, even the military now is bringing in women. I'm not a male chauvinist, but women are made differently than men.
Right.
God knew that. God knows that. We should know that.
That's right.
We got women out there on the front lines where daddy's at home. Now, you explain this. How's daddy nursing that baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
We're cockeyed, man. We're out of whack.
Amen. That's right.
Right.
Women scream and cry equal rights, but what they don't understand is they're not. God is the only one that can give them equal rights.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're doing everything contrary to His word.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Oh, man. They're all over the television. They're all over the workforce. Everywhere you work. Anywhere you work. You can find a soft man who is just about as worthless as a piece of bread. With any bit of pressure, he's going to crumble. He's going to quit.
That's right.
Oh, he's going to cry. Yeah. He's probably got a mountain of gel in his hair.
Yeah, come on.
Because he's more worried about how he looks than doing something manly.
Right.
Amen. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching.
Amen. Come on. Amen. That's right.
He's more worried about his skinny jeans than he is about being a man.
Yeah, come on. Amen.
Man, you show me a man in a pair of skinny jeans, I'm showing you a piece of bread.
Yeah, come on. Amen. That's right.
Dear God, where are the men? I'll tell you where they're. Right there they are.
Yeah.
They're bread. No, here they are.
Right. Come on.
Skinny jeans and earrings and necklaces and what happened to men?
Yeah.
Men and women. Uh-huh. Two opposite sexes.
That's right, come on.
God help us.
Amen.
God help us.
Yeah. That's right.
I want to show you quickly, and this is, I'm done, the conclusion. Chapter 7 is a whole lot of the same, and I'm not going to read it to you for sake of time. But jump down to verse 24, chapter 7. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine, what's that next word? Heart. Decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path. We're still talking about the strange woman. She hath cast down, look now, verse 26. She, the strange woman, hath cast down many wounded. Yea, notice, many, what? Strong men have become bread, been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Why is America going to hell tonight in a handbasket? I just preached it to you.
That's right.
A strong nation, which America was. Still very strong militarily speaking, but I'm telling you what, you find me 20 strong men that will stand for God, and I tell you what, I will fall over fainting.
Yeah, amen.
That's right.
God's doing something in our church. God's making some men out of us. But you know what? Listen, that's only because of this book right here. But you know what? Nobody is preaching it. Nobody will stand up and tell the truth anymore. Women are destroying our men. And in doing so, they don't even understand it. But they're destroying themselves. Because that's their head.
Yeah.
They're destroying their boys, and they don't even understand they're destroying their own future, because that's the future.
Yeah,
that's right.
Amen.
A strong nation. Mighty warriors, America.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know why? Because many strong men are slain by her.
Yeah.
See, men, it's not their fault. Women, it's not, it takes two.
That's right.
It takes one man to not listen to God.
Yep.
And one woman to not listen to God. And then they get together and they both destroy each other.
That's right.
And then it just snowballs.
Yep.
The cure, men, is the Bible. The cure, ladies, is the Bible.
Yeah.
Not sitting on my shelf.
Right.
Minding it, memorizing it, meditating on it, making much of the reproofs, moving towards the light, not just sitting on my shelf. Father, we are in a crisis in our country, and we know it. We're not desperate, Lord, because we know you're greater than any sin, than any iniquity.